is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, February 12, 2009, Abraham Lincoln's 200th birthday. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll have a feature on Lincoln, an education of the 16th president and how it's evolved. We'll get a report from Lynette Kalsness from Chicago Public Radio. We'll also check the forecast for Champaign-Urbana, which includes snow and colder temperatures for the next several days. First, a look at today's news. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn has an unfathomable budget deficit to work on, according to former Governor Jim Edgar. The Republican says he feels more secure now that Quinn has taken office after the ouster of impeached former Governor Rod Blagojevich. But Edgar told an audience in Urbana yesterday that Quinn will have to be upfront with state workers and taxpayers when it comes to making cuts. He says that's the only way Illinoisans would accept any sort of tax increase. Edgar also warns that cuts need to be made in every budget column, even so-called sacred cows like education and health care.
Everybody has to feel some pain here. But also, I think you can't say that you're going to do it the same percentage, because there are some programs that are more essential than others. And that's why you get the house and the car and all that being governor. You got to make some of those decisions.
Edgar says Blagojevich's ouster was a fortunate event for Illinois since it forced the legislature to act, and he says lawmakers acted admirably. But Edgar says Quinn will now have to say no to the General Assembly when it comes to setting up new government programs unless other programs are eliminated, and some may have to be eliminated anyway to help make up for a $9 billion deficit. The leader of an anti-tax organization claims Pat Quinn's choice of chief of staff is an indication the governor will support a state income tax increase. Illinois Taxpayers Education Foundation and National Taxpayers United of Illinois President Jim Tobin says despite no official word from Quinn, the governor's appointment of Jerome Sturmer indicates he's leaning toward supporting a tax hike. Tobin yesterday in Peoria cited Sturmer's support of Senate Bill 750 as the reason for his concern. The bill provides for increasing the individual income tax rate from 3% to 5% and the corporate income tax rate from 4.8% to 8%. Spokesman Bob Reed says the governor has made no official statement supporting tax increases, but has not ruled them out as a means of coping with, as mentioned, the state's projected $9 billion deficit. Senate President John Cullerton says the state needs a major capital program too badly to depend on hopes of a major gambling expansion. In an interview with the Associated Press, Cullerton yesterday also refused to take a position on whether to raise income taxes. But Cullerton did offer two ideas that could help fill the state's estimated $9 billion deficit: selling lottery tickets on the internet and hiring a private firm to improve management and marketing of the state lottery. He says those steps could boost revenue by several hundred million dollars a year. Cullerton showed no interest in overhauling the sales tax or in major budget cuts, but he appeared to favor an increase in the gasoline tax. President Barack Obama will use a Caterpillar manufacturing plant in Peoria to put focus on the need for an economic stimulus package. Obama will visit the home of the heavy equipment maker today, just days after the company announced more than 20,000 layoffs. The massive stimulus plan has been controversial, with most Republicans on Capitol Hill opposing it. But in central Illinois, where the fortunes of Caterpillar are vital to the local economy, it's a different story. Republican State Senator Dale Risinger of Peoria says he has problems with federal stimulus package, but says he will be alongside Obama at the event.
For the president to show up in Peoria at Caterpillar is very important to our area, but I think it's important to the people, too. It shows that he's concerned about manufacturing, and he's willing to support manufacturing. So, yeah, I'm very pleased that he's going to be in Caterpillar land.
President Obama says benefits of his plan are becoming more apparent. He says Caterpillar's CEO has indicated some of the laid-off workers will be rehired if the legislation is approved. Panelists at the University of Illinois told business students yesterday that some job hunting tips are useful in good times and bad. Be focused and organized, know the job you're looking for, do some networking, and find a mentor. But they also say it helps to be flexible, as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Panelist Patrice Yao is a recent U of I alumna who was laid off from her human resources consulting job last November. Her employer was downsizing because of the tough economy, but Yao starts a new HR consulting job in a few weeks with a different firm. She says this time her clients will be government agencies, not the private sector.
And I decided to make that switch because it's an interest that I've always had, but in addition, I know that that market is growing. So the government is very steady right now, and at the beginning of the year, there's a lot more budget and a lot lot more room for growth.
While Yao's new job is still in the private sector, fellow panelist and U of I finance professor David Sino says government regulatory agencies are a good place for new business school graduates to look for work right now because they're one of the few growth areas in the country these days.
Whether it's the FDA, whether it's the IRS, whether it's the FDIC, whether it's the comptroller of the currency, there are going to be job opportunities in the regulatory field for recent graduates from the College of Business.
And while a regulatory agency job may not be the first choice for many budding entrepreneurs, Sino says the benefits are good, and there are opportunities to jump to the private sector later on. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Today is the 200th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birth. The 16th president has been a favorite subject in Illinois museums and schools for more than a century. But historians and teachers say these days the portrayal of Lincoln is more complex and honest and ultimately more useful, especially to students. Illinois Public Radio's Lynette Kalsnes has this report.
A line of kindergartners walk slowly down the hall at Florence Nightingale Elementary School. They're wearing stovepipe hats made of construction paper and beards made out of felt. Their teacher, Ana Ramos, told them about the log cabin that Lincoln was born in and very gently about his death.
He died. He's a president. He's in the penny.
The school's primary librarian, Vera Bunting, recalls when that's about all students were taught about Lincoln.
I remember very well learning the Gettysburg Address and seeing Lincoln as a faraway figure who was lost in some kind of dusty decades in the past.
But now, educators and curators are working to show Lincoln as a three-dimensional figure, warts and all.
After his death, he was really raised up and put on a pedestal in sort of a saint-like status.
Peter Alter is a curator at the Chicago History Museum.
When you place someone on a pedestal like that, you sort of lose the ability to understand them. That's certainly something that we don't want to do.
Over at the Chicago History Museum, people can visit a new exhibit called Lincoln Treasures that emphasizes Lincoln's life as a regular guy, like the china he rarely used because he liked simple food. Alter says Lincoln was a husband and a father, and though we like to forget it, he was a politician too.
Lincoln's decisions, they came not in this sort of vacuum of sainthood, but they came in this very real milieu of politics and of a very bloody war.
Over at Nightingale School, teacher Brandon Barr is dressed up as Lincoln.
Hello, President Lincoln.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
He greets younger kids in the hallway with handshakes and hellos, but in his eighth grade classroom, his lessons about Lincoln are more complicated.
Well, obviously he's an icon, but sometimes it's good to question some of the motives behind some of his decisions, especially the Emancipation Proclamation. Was it a political move, or was it something that was genuinely heartfelt and sincere in his wanting to free the slaves?
Barr says examining complexities like that transforms history into more than just a bunch of facts and figures. One of his students, Edna Sanchez, has taken all of this in. Her view is as pragmatic as Lincoln himself. Sanchez was surprised to learn the Emancipation Proclamation didn't include all the slaves, but she figures it was Lincoln's job to listen to everyone's opinion before making a decision.
I still think he's really a big hero.
The way that Lincoln is taught in schools today is catching up to the way that academic historians think about Lincoln.
Daniel Green directs the Newberry Library's Center for American History and Culture.
History has become more than the study of great men or a march forward in time through presidencies or through American wars, but that historians have become much more interested in the social experiences of real folks.
Green says the quick perception is that Lincoln was the great emancipator, and he says Lincoln was against slavery, but he was no abolitionist. In fact, he wrote if he could save the Union, half slave and half free, he'd do it.
Lincoln is famous for saying sentiments to the effect of, just because I don't want a black woman to be my slave, to be a slave, doesn't mean I want her to be my wife. It's insight into Lincoln's beliefs about the, I guess you could say, inherent inequality of African Americans.
Green says such difficult concepts can help students.
History never is uncomplicated. And so pushing students to realize that even great figures like Lincoln have sometimes contradictory beliefs or struggle through their own beliefs, I think can be a useful thing for students as they're trying to find their way in the world.
Part of that, says the History Museum's Peter Alter, is understanding that times change, as they have since Lincoln's era.
When you label him as a martyr or as this great emancipator, you lose all of that nuance. I think also by the same token, when you call him a racist, I think you also lose that nuance.
The historians say that Abraham Lincoln, in all his contradictions, has more to teach than the one-dimensional icon of the past. The Newberry Library and the History Museum examine these complexities in an online exhibit. It's called Lincoln at 200. I'm Lynette Kalsness.
67 years ago,
our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met here on the great battlefield of that war.
Those were students at Chicago's Abraham Lincoln Elementary School reading the Gettysburg Address. Forecast today, mostly sunny skies, the high around 48 degrees, partly cloudy tonight, the low around 30. Mostly sunny Friday, the high around 45. There's a chance of rain or snow tomorrow night, then snow after midnight. Light accumulation possible, the low around 28 degrees. Colder and partly sunny Saturday, there's a chance of snow in the morning, high around 35. And partly cloudy Saturday night through Monday night, with lows around 25 degrees, the high around 38. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, February 12th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.